Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast, where our mission is to encourage and highlight God's goodness and modern-day miracles. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelley Hankins. Today, we have a special guest with us. His name is Ben Akers, and Ben and I met through the Buckles. And if you haven't listened to the Buckles episode, it was our first episode of season two. You would be highly encouraged to listen to that, and what a story they have. But Ben leads worship when they have miracle services. And he's going to tell you a little bit about that, and it's going to be really good. You'll hear how God's worked in his life, and hopefully it can inspire somebody, and we'll have him start us off with an opening prayer.
All right. Dear Father God, Lord, we are just so blessed and honored to be here today in the midst of you, Lord. You say we're two or more gathered, God, so we got three. So, God, we stand in awe, God, as we are gathered here today, God, and we just lift up your name, Lord, through our testimonies and our stories, God, because they're all true, God, and they're all about you and your goodness and how you've dragged us out of pits, God. So, Lord, we thank you. I thank you for Shelly and her husband, God, to be here, to see fit to bring me in, Lord, and to have this time with me, God, and to have this time with you, more importantly, and most importantly, to have this time with you, Lord. So we thank you. We love you. We lift you up, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah. So where would you like to start?
Well, let's start with the Buckles.
Okay.
Because, that's how we connected. They are just a power couple for God. And I honestly don't, here's the crazy thing, like God remembers, right? But sometimes we don't remember exactly how relationships form, but it doesn't matter how we met. You know, it just matters that we connected. But I remember being with them the first time at this like school in Houston, PA, and it was off Cherry Street, I think it was. And it was in the basement. I don't know if that's where they started out, but that's where my journey with them began. Mm-hmm. And they had me lead worship there for the first time. And it was, I mean, I felt the Spirit of God. I mean, I got goosebumps right now. So I just felt the Spirit of God just all over that place. And then when, you know, Pastor Delise, when she came up and started speaking, it was like everything just fell so hard. The Holy Spirit fell so hard. And then Justin came up and gave, you know, his testimony and his message and everything of hope and restoration and, you know, what God can do. And just his testimony is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You didn't see that coming.
No way. Like my jaw hit the floor the whole time. I'm sitting there listening to him and I'm like, whoa, no way. That's where I met them, and they're such a joy to be able to call. They're like family to me, you know, mm-hmm. to my wife. And so, but yeah, God is good. God mm-hmm. is good. And I'm so glad that we made that God made that connection with our family and their family. So every time I get the opportunity to minister alongside of them, it's, oh man, I jump for joy.
Yeah. We really like them too.
Yeah. And you know what, too, I've noticed too, like, I could be having a really bad week, like the enemy's just all over it for some reason. And so then I get a call from him and he's like, hey, I got a miracle service. Want to lead worship? And I'm like, yeah, let's go, man. I needed this. You know, you have no idea how my week just went. So no lie, the last time I was with them was in Pittsburgh at a church, Grandview Church. And they had me, you know, kind of leading worship alongside of another worship team, which was amazing, by the way. And so that was on a Sunday, I believe, or it was a weekend. And then on Monday, I hit a deer doing 70 miles an hour.
Whoa.
Tore the entire front end of the Nissan up. It was a Nissan Altima I was driving. I hit the deer going 70 miles an hour because I was on the interstate and the legal speed limit was 70 and I was doing 70. Mm-hmm. And the deer just came out of nowhere, jumped out of nowhere. And I hit that thing going 70 miles an hour. Mm. And it was really bad. The airbags deployed.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, when police showed up, they thought somebody had died. And just for us to walk away from that.
Somebody had.
Right. But I'm telling you.
Pretty sure that deer didn't walk away.
No, the deer didn't walk away. In fact, my wife, she was in the, you know, she was with me too. She wasn't hurt. Thank God. Mm-hmm. But the cops. Praise God. Yes. And there was three cops that responded. And the third one was looked at my wife and he's like, I'm going to go make sure that the deer's dead. And it walked away. But anyways, that's another testament to how good God is. He protects us. He's our Jehovah Jireh provider. Mm-hmm. And he was with me that day. He's with me every day. But mm-hmm. that's the thing about God. You know, he's sometimes we think that he's not there, but he's always there. He's always
some
there.
Days it's more evident than others.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So that actually was recent. That was like 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
That happened 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so, the goodness of God has been all over it. And so, but anyways, yeah, Justin and Delise, power couple. I love anytime I get to be with them and minister alongside of them. Awesome, awesome children of God. So
mm-hmm. I love when they preach together and she follows in Spanish.
Yes, that's amazing.
You can almost feel the spirit realm being torn open literally as they preach together in that. It's such an effective way. It's just amazing.
It's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And so, and you don't see that very often mm-mm. in the world. So when you do come across a power couple like that, it's like, man, you want to be where they're at, because mm-hmm. you know that where they're at, the spirit of the Lord is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's just as powerful and moving as he is. Mm-hmm. On Espanol.
Right.
It's perfect.
I don't know what she's saying, but I know it's God.
Yes.
I'm just following along.
I know a little bit of Spanish, and so I'm like, yep. I was like, oh, those are all holy words. I'm loving it.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, you know, my heritage is I'm Cuban. So you would think being Cuban that I'm not full Cuban, but I have enough. And so you would think being like Latino, being Cuban, that I would know a little bit of Spanish, but I do not know a lick of Spanish. I know one word and I think it's like, hola.
Oh yeah.
That's it, man. But also I can say, you know, I can do a salutation in Korean or South Korean too, you know, kamsahamnida. That just means, you know, hello or whatever.
Right. I'm pretty sure.
Don't quote me on that.
We don't know who told you that.
Right. So. Well, as a buddy of mine years ago, I worked for a company and as a driver and he was my helper. I drove a 26-foot box truck for this company and I don't know if I can say the name because of, mm-hmm. you know, but it was out of Wintersville, Ohio, and they paired me up with him and he was in the army and he went to South Korea for a little bit and he said he picked up some of the language and stuff there. So.
Yes, yeah. I would definitely not trust that from someone in the army.
Right.
It probably does not mean what you think it means.
No.
Google Translate on that right away.
Yeah, I did. It does. It's just a salutation, a common greeting.
We were speaking before I was in the service, and mm-hmm. you know, that can go a lot of bad ways.
It can. So, absolutely. You can edit that out if you want.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's perfect.
I'm just messing.
I don't do any editing. It's fine.
Right.
All right. Where'd your journey take you from there?
So I was signed by a Christian record label for 5 years. And during the time that we had met, our paths had crossed, me and Justin and Delise and my wife, I was signed with the label. And, you know, things were, I'm glad you asked that because that's kind of where I was going next. But so being with the label, there was ups and downs, but a major part of it was temptation. And so when I say that, so my wife, well, let me start with my wife. I should start with my wife because she is the pinnacle. She is the pillar of me and you know, so we'll start there. So I met my wife in 2009 on MySpace, back in the MySpace days. Yeah. Forever ago.
Goodness gracious.
And, it was great, you know, and so we dated from 2009 until 2013, and then I asked her to marry me, and we got married, and, you know, we weren't ready for kids, you know, but oops. No, I'm just kidding. She's definitely not an oops. Bailey is my world. My wife is my world. My daughter's Bailey, and my wife's name's Donna, but Bailey's my world. Donna's my world. But unfortunately, when you're signed by a label or you have any kind of, like, status or any kind of, you know, hey, you know, I'm this or I'm that, it's like, you know, sometimes God allows that to kind of take root just to kind of temperature check, gauge where you're at. And I let it go to my head for a while, and my foe, and I'm saying that with humility, I'm not like that now, and I had to repent, but we all have a Saul, right? The Saul before Paul. And so my Saul was that, you know, I got signed by the label, got discovered by LBM Records in, August of 2018. And from August of 2018 to August of 2023, that was my time with the label. But before we get to God's glory part about it, how he turned me into Paul, we'll talk a little bit about what happened before. So to give it some context. But so I was with the label for 5 years. In the beginning, it was great. We cut a couple albums. I have 3 studio albums. They made it to Walmart. Some of my music made it to K-Love. So some pretty cool things I've shared stages with, you know, names like Ann Wilson, Seventh Time Down, Seventh Day Slumber, Phil Wickham, some pretty big names. And so I'm not discrediting that by any means, and I'm not complaining, because God did move on my time with the label. But there was a dark side to that. And so a lot of times, you know, our Facebook page, I had like 30,000 followers at one point. And so if you elevate yourself, you're taking God out of the equation. But the crazy thing is that when you do elevate yourself, you're not thinking about God. You're not thinking about his purpose for your life. You're thinking about you. Mm-hmm. Your focus becomes you. And that's a very dangerous place to be in. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that was the place I was in. Mm-hmm. So that was where I was at. And I was ignoring my wife, doing, you know, stupid things and saying stupid things and just forgetting where I came from and forgetting where it all came from. And so I began to fall deeper into this, like, you know, temptation, and these women would message me on Facebook and just really stupid stuff, and not even local, just women from like the Philippines and stuff. And they would be like, "Hey, honey, you know, why don't you come over here? I'll take better care of you." Just stupid stuff. And, mm-hmm. And so you have to look at that from my wife's point of view.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it angered her, and it got underneath of her, which rightfully so. But instead of me seeing that for what it was like I allowed myself to like become enthralled into that, mm-hmm. you know, and it was horrible. It was, I believe that it was a demonic possession, mm-hmm. or if it wasn't demonic, I believe that I was wrapped up in myself. Mm-hmm. And so this went on for a couple of years, and my wife would always tell me, like, "Why are you doing that? Why are you giving into this? Why are you just block up? Just do," and she was right by saying that.
Absolutely.
But at the time, being, you know, me, and just my focus was all about me, it was like, "Oh, it's in your head. You're just, you know, you're just jealous, or you're just this or that." And so it became a choke point. And so long story short, everything came to a head in June of 2023. And so, you know, she basically told me, she was like, "You know, you got to make a change." You know, because some things were said and some things happened. And she said, "You know, you really need to think about where you want to go and what you want to do, because, you know," and she was totally right. Mm-hmm. She was totally right. And so for the first time, I kind of snapped out of it. I cried out to God, and I realized, like, "Oh my God, you know, what am I doing? Why am I doing this?" And so God told me through my wife, you know, and please, when I say this, this was not my wife. This was God. Mm-hmm. And he was speaking to me, and he said, "Listen, if you love me and you actually are serious about the calling that I had placed on your life," because he did, he put a calling on my life for worship. He said, "Don't forget the things that I pulled you from back in 2007, 15, 20 years ago. Do not forget that, because, you know, I did it then, I can do it again, but it's going to take a humble spirit. It's going to take a spirit of repentance, and not just the kind of repentance where, you know," because some people say, "Oh, I'm sorry, God, I repent," and then they do it again, mm-hmm. a week later or 2 weeks later. That's not the kind of repentance that God was wanting. God was wanting, requiring of me a total repentance, a total walking away, doing a 180 and never, ever going back. And that's exactly what I did. And so it's almost 2 years later, and God has been doing some amazing, amazing things because of my obedience, my sacrifice, my repentance, mm-hmm. and my wife, you know, great is her reward for putting up with me and sticking with me through that. You know, any other woman would have been gone. And by all rights, you know.
But the right woman God had for you stayed.
Correct. And, you know, looking back on it, I try not to live in the past, because it's like all I think about when I think about the past is my shame, mm-hmm. my guilt, you know, just what a rotten person I was. Because I was getting on stages, you know, I was in a different church every weekend, getting booked by all these different churches. Mm-hmm. My name was going high, but God, where was God? Mm-hmm. I was neglecting my wife. What is that? Mm-hmm. You know,
singing glory to God, singing glory, doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, yes, God did give me a calling, but I just wasn't in the right place. And I can admit that with humility. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about that, I think, man, I don't like it. I don't like, I get sick. because I'm sick of the sin. And so that really is a testament of what God can do with a humble spirit, with a truly repentative spirit. And so, yeah, it blows my mind every time I think about it. But my wife, you know, the healing has started. So praise God for that. I still get booked and play different places and stuff. But I will never sign with another label. I just won't, because I know what it can do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying at all that LBM Records was a bad label. In fact, they were not. They were not a bad label.
Just the industry.
Well, the industry, yeah.
How you have to go into it their way.
Or the way that you handled it.
Well,
wasn't a very biblically Christian
correct.
Way to handle it.
Was,
so it's not on anybody, no, but the responsibility on you.
It was right. All me, correct. And that's what a lot of people do when they're in their sin. They find ways to put the blame on somebody else. They say, well, I wouldn't have done that. If you go to any prison and just do take a poll of the inmates, they'd all say the same thing. Well, I wouldn't be in here doing a sentence if it wasn't for so-and-so that got in my face. And then I blasted him. No, you're in here because you made a decision and, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but that's where I was different. I was willing to own my mistake. I was willing to say, okay, you know what? You messed up. But God's goodness, God's grace is always there. Always there. If you're serious and you want to change your life, you know, give it to God. Repent. Mm-hmm. And truly repent. And never do it again. And God will honor that in the craziest way. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's been doing in my life. So, but, you know, I can't put the blame on anybody else. I can't put it on my wife. I can't put it on the label. I can't put it on any of the churches or the leadership at the churches. I have to put the blame on. That's the first step on the road to healing is owning your mistake.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, saying, okay, yeah, I messed up. You know,
how can you accept forgiveness? How can you accept forgiveness if you won't admit you did something wrong?
Yeah.
Right. How can you give? How can you get Jesus's forgiving grace if you're like, I didn't do anything?
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing to forgive, Jesus. We're good. Right. Like, that's foolish. That's so foolish.
That's really foolish. And so, but that's the place I was at for a long time.
Oh,
and
we all do it. Oh my goodness, do we all do it?
Just like a toddler. You know, it's like you know, what's when a mother, you know, tries to discipline a toddler, first thing is, I didn't do that.
So, wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
It was the dog.
Yeah. But I am just thankful that my wife decided to stay with me and see me through it, because she saw the good in me, evidently, enough to stay. And so every day I'm proving her right that, you know, I am changing and I have changed and that, you know, I'm not going back to that way. Mm-hmm. You know, and so just honoring her in that sense, just honoring my wife is the only thing I want to do at this point for the rest of my life. And yes, I know that, you know, the Lord has put a calling on my life. I know he's put, you know, the call to worship on my life, and that's fine. I can use that. But now I can use that knowing that, you know, hey, things are different. I'm a new creation. I'm born again.
So question, when you discovered that you had an amazing ability to sing, did you sing like after you had found Jesus, so all your songs were worship centered, or did you start singing before you met Jesus and you had a bunch of other, you know, worldly kind of songs that you would belt out?
No, that's the crazy thing. So I never really sang any like worldly songs. I really didn't start singing until I met, well, you know how you say you met the Lord, you know, but we all meet the Lord. Mm-hmm. In our life at various points of our life, but you know, we fall away too. And so I'll say that kind of goes back to my testimony. And so before, like I said, I never really got involved with any worldly music or singing. I mean, I would listen to worldly music, but I would never sing it or never try to like do covers of it or anything. I might like jam out to some Green Day every now and then, you know, before, but now it's like, you know, I don't surround myself with that music anymore. But back then, it does tie into my testimony, because so I was adopted. My mother and father, you know, my dad was in the Navy. My mother had cancer. She couldn't have kids because she had to have a full hysterectomy. But my biological mother, she, you know, I have two sisters, but she I'm the middle child. So when she was pregnant with me, she knew that she couldn't take care of me because I guess she was mentally retarded is what I was told, because when she was born, she was delivered with forceps or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But she already had my sister, Stephanie, So she couldn't, she knew, and she was having a hard time taking care of her. So she just knew right off the bat she couldn't take care of me. So she gave me up for adoption. And growing up, I always struggled with that because I always had like a sense of survivor's guilt. Like, why did you take me out of the equation? Because this is kind of like an Oprah story almost. after 33 years of growing up, like knowing about each other, we finally met. I finally met my two sisters after like 33 years. Mm. But we'll get into that later. But, you know, so growing up when I was about 7, my adoptive mother, you know, she told me right off the rip, as soon as I was old enough to know or old enough to understand, she told me, she said, you know, hey, you're adopted, you know, and you have two sisters. And so I've always known about my two sisters. I just never met them until later in life. Mm-hmm. So I got goosebumps. I think I was 33, I'm 38 now, but I mean, this was like maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I had found my biological sister, who we have the same mom and dad, but the other sister, her name's Stacy, and we have different dads. But Stephanie, but I still consider her my sister.
Because she is, absolutely. She's my sister. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't look at her any different than Stephanie. But Stephanie is my other sister, and she was born first. So Stephanie was born, then I was born, and then Stacy was born. That's kind of the order chronologically. But Stephanie was born, and I was separated from Stephanie as soon as I was born. And so growing up, I knew about my sisters, but I didn't get the chance to meet them until later in life. So when I did get the chance to meet Stephanie, I said, you know, how was life? Because, you know, how do you catch up? You know, because it was just a couple of days in Toledo, Ohio, because her partner that she was with, she had, I guess, family in Toledo. And so she was like, well, let's just meet in Columbus. How far from Columbus are you? And I said, like, 3 hours. So we met in Columbus one day a couple years ago in person for the first time after like 33 years. Hmm. And it was crazy. So I said, you know, how do we catch up in just a couple hours for 33 years worth of, you know? But one of the questions I asked her was, how was your childhood? And she began to tell me, she said, you know, it wasn't good. There was a period in time where she lived out of the back of a pickup truck in Waco, Texas for a couple years. But I will tell you this, Stephanie's trials Stephanie and Stacy's trials growing up as kids, being homeless in the back of a pickup truck, molded her into who they are today.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And so when I heard that, I became angry at God, because I was like, God, why did you allow that to happen? Why did you pluck me? Why did you take me out of that environment? I'm the man of the, you know, those are my two sisters. You could have, why me? So I began to have this like negative feeling towards God of like, you know, almost like survivor's guilt. Like, you took me out of the situation that I should have been in. Mm-hmm. I should have been there suffering with them as the brother, you know, the only brother. Why wasn't I there? And I dealt with that for the longest time. I mean, still, even at this day, a little bit. But then God began to tell me, so, you know, I had different plans for you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I don't love them. God loves us all, right? John 3:16. But it just means God had different, he had something different for me.
It reminds me of the story of Joseph.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so he's separated from his family, different circumstances.
Yeah.
And his family goes through hardships without him, including a famine, you know, and maybe your story's not done and there's something going to happen that's going to put you in a position where you're able to help certain people that you couldn't help before.
I love that. Yeah.
And it literally is going to come full circle. And that's the reason why they suffered and you didn't, because you needed to be a place of refuge for them later.
Mm. Wow. I never thought of that. That's crazy.
Chew on that.
Yeah. But yeah, so they had a very rough childhood, emotionally, physically, spiritually, in every single way. But it made them stronger. It made them very strong. Mm. Like Stephanie, you know, she's very entrepreneur-minded, business, you know, just like myself. And she's very, amazing, amazing life right now, and just living life and not struggling. And so, I mean, we all struggle, but you know what I mean? Like the experiences that she went through as a kid, you know, molded her into this hardworking individual that she is today. And I'm so proud of her.
Does she follow Christ now?
No, but that doesn't mean I don't love her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely
and
not.
Yeah. I'm not saying she's not a Satanist or anything. She's a wonderful person. I respect her and I look up to her in the most, you know, sincere way. And I can say that about Stacy too. I'm very proud of them both. Stacy has amazing accomplishments as well. And so she, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is that they did not allow their past to define their future. Mm-hmm. And that speaks volumes. So whereas me, you know, growing up, I had the exact opposite experience that my sisters had. I was spoiled rotten because I was an only child. I was adopted. You know, imagine, you know, my mother, who couldn't have kids, adopted me. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, she spoiled me. And it often caused arguments between, you know, my mom and dad. You know, my dad would say, "You're spoiling him," you know. But growing up, I had everything I wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, Christmases would come and go. My mom would spend thousands of dollars on me just for Christmas. And so I had a very...
You look spoiled.
Right.
You look spoiled.
And so, you know, I did. I had a very good childhood. And so when I became an adult, I went the other way, you know? And so I was very disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I was extremely disrespectful. My mother's cancer had came back. And instead of being there for her, I was out all hours of the night doing whatever I wanted to do. Coming home, you know, at 4:30 in the morning, trying to sneak in, waking my parents up, just being the selfish person that I was. And I didn't care what I had to do or whose toes I had to step on, as long as I could get what Ben wanted. And that's who I was, you know, for the longest time. But one day my dad, he said, you know, I had enough with you, Benjamin, and he kicked me out of the house. And I was, this is where I'm kind of going into my testimony. And so I had nowhere to go. Because we had just moved to the area. I didn't really know anybody. So I was literally homeless. And I was living in the street. I remember a truck had drove by and a tarp blew off the back of the truck. And that's what I ran over to it. And that's what I used to cover up with at night. I was sleeping in a playground. I remember the first night.
What are the chances that truck would have drove by when a tarp would have blown off?
Right. I know, right? I mean, I didn't think of that at the time. But now I think that, yeah. And so
it's like a movie plot, you know? It just doesn't happen
it doesn't
like that.
Happen. But see, that's the thing about God. Hmm. Even in our worst time, God still provides. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even though I was laying in my filth, living in the street, sleeping in a playground and under bridges and wherever, God still somehow gave me a blanket. Isn't mm-hmm. that wild? Isn't that crazy mm-hmm. to think? Like, come on.
It's like the birds dropping food.
Yeah, it's like that verse in the Bible that says, you know, even while we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. Even when I was at my lowest, Christ still loved me enough to die for me. And so he's going to provide, you know. Mm-hmm. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We're the ones that kind of back off. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that go wayward and, mm-hmm. you know. But
because
anyways,
we don't think we're forgivable.
Right. We think,
how,
man.
How crazy is that?
Exactly. You know, we think, man, how could God forgive all these things that I've done? You know, and that's a lie straight from hell.
Absolutely.
That is a lie
Absolutely.
Straight from the enemy. I can't stress that enough. But yeah, I remember the first night I laid my head in a park. It was the same night that I had got kicked out of the house earlier in the day. And I remember laying underneath the swing set, looking up at the stars. And I'm thinking, you're 19 years old and you're homeless. What are you doing? How did you get to this point? And so I wandered for about a week. Well, maybe almost 2 weeks. I wandered around and I slept in parks and in, you know, underneath bridges in Steubenville, Ohio, and just wherever I could find a place that, you know, would provide some sort of cover, you know. And so I did that for about 2 weeks. And then I kind of had a revelation. It dawned on me. I thought, Ben, you were adopted, right? Your parents chose you, you know. They love you. This is just tough love. Go home. Walk your butt back home. Be the prodigal son. Fly straight and repent and apologize. Because I grew up in church, too. You know, I was churched. And so, but anyways... So I did. I walked all the way back home. It was about a 2.5-3 hour walk from where I was, you know, staying just underneath a bridge in Steubenville. And so this was about 2 weeks of being homeless. And I smelt like death. I looked like death. I hadn't had a shower, you know, horrible. I was using public restrooms, you know, here and there, whatever, you know, committing some little crimes just to survive. And so I did. I walked back home and my dad, and he met me with, you know, why are you here? And it kind of shook me,
because I'm thinking, I've been on the street for 2 weeks. You don't even know if I'm dead or alive. And you chose me. You and mom chose me. And he basically was like, you know, we don't want you here. Go get out of here. So now not only am I back on the street, but now I have this hatred, this dangerous resentment toward my adoptive parents, because I'm thinking to myself, they don't really love you. They really don't love you. You haven't seen them for 2 weeks. You've been on the street, you know, you could have been dead. They didn't know, but they don't love you. And that was the lie that I believed and that I fed into for, you know, a long time. But anyway, so now I'm back on the street again, still nowhere to go. And now I'm there with these feelings of, you know, suicide. And, you know, I almost committed suicide, almost jumped off the bridge, but I didn't. And so one night after about 3 weeks now into being homeless, one night this car drove by and he came back, he turned back around, and this big, you know, black guy got out and he says, he looked at me and I was laying in the underneath the bridge and underpass, and he goes, "What's your name, man?" And I'm like, "Ben. Well, who are you?" He's like, "Ben, you know," he's like, "yeah, man, what are you doing in the street, bro? You homeless. Are you homeless?" I said, "Yeah." And he was like, "Man, get in the car." And I'm like, this is a total stranger trying to tell me to get in his car. But at the same time, what other option did I have? You know? So I did. I got in his car. He says, "Man, look, I got a construction company. I'm going to put you to work. I'm going to give you a place to stay. Man, you're too young to be on the street. You know, you're 19, because I told him I was 19. He's like, "Yeah, you're too young, bro. We'll get you straightened out." And I'm like, "All right." So I did that. And he put me on one of his construction crews for about a week and a half. And long story short, one day he rolled up and I was doing drywall and he says, "Hey, come here." So I'm like, "Oh," so all these things are going through my head. Like, what did I do? You know, what in the world? So I go back over to him and he says, "Get in the car. We're going to take a ride." I'm like, "All right." So we go for a ride. And for the first time in my life, I seen this guy sell heroin. I seen heroin sold, you know, and he gave me some of the money. He said, "This is what you're going to do for me from now on. You're the construction." And that was just,
you must have been pretty bad at drywall.
Right. Yeah, probably. Instead. Right. So he gave me a gun that wasn't even registered to me. I drove a car that wasn't mine. And so I sold heroin for about 2 weeks until one night everything came to a head. This was kind of the come to Jesus meeting that I had. And so every single run he would send me on, I always knew a description of the vehicle, you know, the street name of the person I was meeting with and everything. And on this particular night, you know, he sent me kind of late at night to a parking lot in Cleveland. And I'm thinking, okay, but you ever get this feeling in the pit of your stomach? Like, I've done this 1,000 times, but it's going to be different this time. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that was the exact feeling I had in the pit of my stomach when I was heading to meet this guy to sell heroin. Even though I had done it, you know, 40 times before, there was something different about this time. And so anyways, so I get there to the meeting spot and no one's there. A description of the vehicle that I was supposed to look for wasn't there. So I'm thinking, all right, dude's late. I'll just give him 5 minutes. If he doesn't show, if I don't see anything, I'm out. So 5 minutes comes and goes, still no show. So I start to leave. Well, as I'm turning the corner, a description of the vehicle that I was told pulls in. And I'm like, man, all right, I got to do it. I can't go back now. So I kind of turn back around and I, you know, meet up with him, and I get out of the car, he gets out of the car, and we come together. And as I'm reaching in my pocket to get the bags, out of nowhere, he takes a gun out of his waist and puts it to my head, to my forehead, and pulls the trigger, but the gun jammed. And to this day, I still remember what the cold steel of the barrel feels like pressed against my forehead.
Wow.
And my life flashed before my eyes. I thought I was dead. I didn't know.
You should have been.
I should have been, but I was in shock. And then as soon as I realized that I wasn't dead, I just ran. I booked it. I don't know why he didn't pistol whip me, or I don't know.
He was probably stunned too.
He was probably stunned. Yeah, I don't know. But looking back on it, that was God intervening. Mm-hmm. That was God working on my behalf. And so I remember going back to the car. I remember getting in the car. I remember just booking it out of there. And as I was running back to the car, I could hear him firing the weapon more and more. But each time he pulled the trigger, it was like the click sound, like the sound a gun makes when it jams. Mm-hmm. So he was even firing. He was trying to get the gun to, he was trying to shoot me as I was running back to the car. Hmm. But the Lord intervened, you know, Isaiah 54:17. And so even though I wasn't walking with God at the time, I knew God. I had given my life to God as a child. So once you're in God's family, you belong to him. Mm-hmm. Even when you're at your worst and your wayward, God still loves you. He still protects you. He's still there. So with all that said, I remember I ended up going in the Navy. And so there's a book I have on Amazon that you guys can check it out. It's called Overcome, and it's got more of the details in there. But I remember I went in the Navy, and that was a miracle, because when I walked into the, and at that time, the recruiter's office, they were all in the same space in the mall. So you have like the Marines, the Army, mm-hmm. the Navy, all that separated by cubicles. So when I walked into the mall, I smelled like death, looked like death, didn't have a shower, nothing. And so my goal was, I'm just trying to get to boot camp. Whoever can get me to boot camp the first is the branch I'm going to go with. So I went in, talked to Marine guy first. He was like, hey, we'd love to have you, but there's no room. And it's like a year and a half wait. Boom. Okay. So Army guy, same story. Coast Guard, same story. Air Force, same story. The Navy recruiter was the last one. And he said, hey man, sit down. I heard it the first four times. He said, you're homeless. I get it. Can I tell you something? I said, yeah. He goes, when I went in, I was homeless too. I was you. And I'm a Christian. And I told God that the first chance I get to pay this back, to pay this forward, because he pulled me out of this the same way, I'm going to do it. And it may have took him some time, but looking at you, I got to pay it forward. He says, I got a kid coming in here in about 2 hours. He's going to fail his drug test. And not only is this the drug test that's supposed to be the final one, but this is supposed to be the one that's going to determine whether he goes to boot camp or not. And I know he's going to fail it, because I know this kid. I know his mom. I know his dad. I know his family. And, you know, he's not really cut for the military life anyway. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go take this money. He gave me like $20. He said, I want you to go to the food court and chill, get some food, get some chow. And I want you to come back after about maybe 2.5 hours. And then I'm going to put you in his place. And if everything I'm saying happens, I can have you to boot camp within 2 weeks. He says, otherwise, it's going to be like a year wait. I said, hey, what other option do I have? Mm-hmm. So I did. I come back. Sure enough, the kid came. He failed his drug test. And so I got to be put in his place. So I went to boot camp. He let me stay on the couch there in the mall. He said, look, do I have your word? Just don't go out in the mall during the closing hours from like 9 to 9 a.m. You know, and I was like, I'll stay right here. Whatever you want me to do, you know, because I'm trying to get off the street. And so by the grace of God, that was all orchestrated. Mm-hmm. So God has had his hand on me my whole life, even when I didn't want it, even when I didn't see it, you know, it's like that song Waymaker, even when we don't see it, he's working, even when we don't mm-hmm. feel it, he's working. Mm-hmm. And so the funny thing about God is when he pulls you out of a pit, he gives you a calling too. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just pull you out and be like, hey, here you go. You know, no, he pulls you out of something. He's going to give you an assignment. Mm-hmm. He's going to use you as a testimony to his goodness, to glorify himself. And so when he delivered me from that, that's when I ended up, you know, picking up the guitar. I taught myself guitar and started to sing Christian music, like, you know, mm-hmm. answering that question. And so that's how that kind of all ties in. And so then I got discovered by LBM Records in August of 2018 and did 5 years with them. And the whole time God's just been in it and just making the connections and, mm-hmm. And there's been some downtimes, you know. I mean, I can't say it was all, you know, peaches and cream. It definitely wasn't. I mean, there was a time where my marriage was, you know, pretty much gone. But again, this is a testament that there is no mountain that is high enough that mm-hmm. God can't move. You know, there's no storm that too big that he can't calm.
Right. Oh, yes.
With a mm-hmm. humble heart and a willing heart, God can do anything. A repentative heart, more important, mm-hmm. most importantly.
Yeah, it's important to change that mind. Don't be set on the ways it's dragging you down. Yeah.
Amen. And that's what I did. I humbled myself, repented, and sinned, and not just for, but like truly repented. And now, you know, my walk with God is so much different now. Mm-hmm. So much different. Because I'm not bound by temptation. I don't have the chains that were dragging me down. I don't have those chains that were holding me down. I don't have it. Mm-hmm. It's just like he took it away completely. So when I hear of testimonies like, you know, drug addicts and stuff, and they're like, you know, God broke the chains, I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a chain breaker. You know, it's just the only difference is your chain was something and my chain was something else.
But it's
all the same to God. Mm-hmm. There's no chain that's stronger than another to God.
Right. But we're all individuals and God loves us all individually, right? Yes. And he centers all of his care around us individually.
Yes.
And amongst us at the same time, because he can do that.
Yes, absolutely.
He can do anything.
Anything. We serve a God of the impossible becoming possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my song God is Capable is all about. It released like a month or two ago, and it's everywhere. You can stream music, like, you know, iHeartRadio and all over the place, Spotify, but even some of the Christian radio stations play it locally. But that's what that song's about. Mm-hmm. It's about God is capable of doing anything. If you're addicted to crack, you know, heroin, whatever, if you have a pornography addiction, if you have a, you know, whatever it is, God can break those chains. Mm-hmm. But you have to humble you have to want it.
You've got to repent. Yes, you have to want it. Otherwise, you just fall right back in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to want it to be gone or you'll turn right back to it.
Oh, man, that'll preach. That is a whole sermon.
Yes.
Yeah.
1,000 times yes.
And I don't find it any coincidence that God put the people in my life, you know, that surrounds me on the daily, especially my wife. Like, God put me and my wife together for a reason. She loved me at my worst. So, no, I gotta be there for her.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely. No, you're all right, man. This is a safe space to be a anybody.
Right. I'm just.
You're good, my man.
I'm trying to keep it back. I'm trying to hold it back, man.
You don't have to.
You know, when I look at my wife, that's love.
Mm-hmm.
That's loved. To love somebody that much, to stand by them at their worst. Mm. And give you chance after chance after chance.
Mm-hmm.
I look at God and I see the same love.
Mm-hmm.
So if it wasn't for my wife and for God, like, I don't know where I'd be.
But you have a few guesses. I bet that guy's pistol would have worked.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a
I'm sorry,
sure.
I'm a baby right now, but
no, hey, you are okay. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. You were in a safe place in this place,
right? And I know this is going out live, and I don't care. People need to hear this because it is just further evidence and further proof that God can do anything. We serve a God of anything. Mm-hmm. Like, he can do anything. There's nothing.
God of infinity.
Infinity. He owns all the cattle on the hill.
Whatever you can think of, he's already thought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He can think of things that you didn't even consider. In colors you can't imagine. He can think of sounds you can't imagine. Like instruments you don't know. There's so much that he can imagine that you can't even fathom with our finite minds because he is infinite.
Yeah, and that's why I love that song by Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine, because it makes me think, like, when we do get to heaven, it's like we're going to experience things that we never even thought about here on earth.
God,
like you said,
God
there's
loves
be...
us as children, right? Never once does he refer to us as adults.
And I'm telling you,
And one of the key factors of children is the wonder.
Yeah.
You don't think he's got a bunch of wonder waiting for us in heaven? Come on.
We're going to be like children. Mm-hmm. The Bible says have childlike faith. I'm telling you, my wife, she's going to have a mansion. I'm going to have a doghouse.
I was kind of hoping for a hobbit hole.
Maybe,
that'd be really cool.
Right. Maybe a cardboard box somewhere in the corner, you know.
I'm looking for cozy, you know.
You know, I'll have to ask God, can I go see my wife? No. But yeah, great is her reward, man. And you know, I look back at everything and I'm like, wow, for her to love me and to stand by me, that's the same kind of love God has for us.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, I'm not trying to compare her to God, but I'm saying like, God loves us enough. He loves us enough through her. Yeah. Yeah. I see the love of Christ through her.
Right. And, oh yeah. And he shows us examples of how he loves us through other people and interactions.
And
you're not comparing her to her, but you're comparing her to him. But
yeah,
we get
right.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying
we understand. It's not the same, but it's the same feeling. We get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and let me tell you, she's Irish. So.
Oh.
Yeah. She's.
Don't make her mad.
Right. No, I'm just kidding. She's a beautiful person. And I understand fully why God put her in my life and put us together. So.
Because you needed it.
I definitely needed it. I'd be dead. I would be on the street. I don't know.
Ain't that the truth? Our helpers, the ones that God gives us.
Amen.
Otherwise, who would we be without?
Come on. Come on.
Who knows?
So good.
Don't get a big head about that. You already know you're awesome.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm just, again, man. Every time I look at her, and just the fact that she's still by my side today is the love of Christ. You know, love is patient, love is kind, you know, love keeps no record of wrongs. And it's been a crazy ride and a crazy journey, but I know that if I was to die right now, you know, I'd go to heaven. My sins are forgiven. And I also would die a happy man, knowing that I died married to the woman that actually truly loves me.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
love me at my worst.
If you want to know if someone really loves you, say what you said again in Corinthians, except replace love with that person's name. If that's all still true, right? If Donna is patient, if Donna is kind, right? If all these things are true, then Donna is love. And God is love. And therefore, Donna is expressing the exact qualities of God, which is what we're made in the image of.
Amen.
So, amen, right?
Yep. Amen. And I feel the Holy Spirit in this room right now. He's here.
It's very thick a lot of times.
I receive a lot of messages in the bathroom when they're side of that wall there. So I mean, he's always close here. It's like the tabernacle right there.
I mean, do you feel him? He's here. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can feel it.
Yeah.
That's why we stock up on tissues.
Yeah. I've been, you know, being on a label and stuff, you know, you get interviews and stuff, and I've had many interviews, but I've never really cried on one. So
I mean, first time for everything.
That's right.
I'm glad you feel safe here.
I do. I'm very thankful for both of you. And I know we kind of talked, you know, about it, but I would love for somehow for us to get the band in here, maybe in the near future. And you know, I'll share a mic. I'm not
so. That'd be cool.
Yeah. We could. There's three of us, so I mean,
not a problem. Yeah, we can figure something out
for sure. And that's something else that God recently changed in my life. You know, He said to me, He said, "Ben, it's no longer Ben Akers Music. It's Tri-State Worship." And so, because you know, Sonny, he's the drummer. He's from West Virginia. Carl, he's the bass player. He's from Pennsylvania. And then there's, you know, I'm from Ohio. So there's three states. So Tri-State Worship, and it's biblical. You know, the Trinity. And so God really has just been doing some mind-blowing things. And you know, that's the thing. When you're stuck on yourself and you're just all about you, you don't see those things because they pass you by. Mm-hmm. They're there, but you don't see them because you're choosing not to see them.
It's because you're focused, right? If I'm focused on this lamp over here across the room, am I really going to notice everything else going by on my way to it?
Right.
And so, yeah, it's easy. What you put your focus on is where your direction is going. And so when we put your focus on God, some of the nonsense distractions disappear.
Yeah.
Because your focus is on God. But as soon as you put your focus on your nonsense distraction, now God is in the blinder. And that's not a place for him. That's not the place we want to put God.
It's a dangerous place.
You know that, like in Dirty Dancing, nobody puts baby in the corner. Nobody puts God in the corner.
Right.
Like, don't do that. That is a wrong move. Not because he's going to get mad and angry with you, but because you're going to fail. You're going to stumble and you're going to fall and you're going to look back and blame him for a second. Like, why weren't you there? Why weren't you holding my hand? He's like, no. You put me in a corner. You tell me when you need me back.
Yep. And I just kind of wanted to clarify something too. I know earlier I said, you know, when I was homeless, I tried to go back home, and it's not that my parents don't love me. They do. They love me. They love me unconditionally. But it was just, I was so, you know, just so far deep in my sin, just all about myself. And that was even before I had met my wife. I was single and just deep in my sin, just doing Ben. And so my parents had enough, you know. So I get where they were coming from. But at the time, stinking thinking, we're blaming everybody but us. But I just wanted to kind of clarify.
They didn't want to enable you
to
continue that path.
Right. And so
it's the hard love.
It is.
That's how we did it in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have all the crazy stuff going on in the world to worry about either.
It's just a little different.
A little different now.
Yeah, we get threatened to run away and they'd be like, bye.
Yeah, don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out.
You won't even come after me? Why? You made it pretty clear you don't want to be here.
Yeah. Sounds like Roseanne. <What's it called? laughs> Oh, man. That's great.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us. I really enjoyed getting to know you and your story a bit. And I think it'd be great to have your band on at one point.
Absolutely. You know? Just let me know. You let me know when's good for you, and I'll coordinate with them and make it happen. So thank you for having me, for real.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're a treat. You're an absolute treat.
Sharing your story.
This has been a therapy session for me. No.
I have words of encouragement as a gift, so I use them as often as I possibly can.
Thank you. Yeah.
They're yours. They're not for me, right? So a pear tree doesn't eat pears, and a lemon tree doesn't eat lemons. So these gifts aren't for me. These gifts are for someone else, for the people that are eating the fruit that I'm dropping.
Amen. I love that.
We have a lot of people say that this was their favorite interview.
Mm-hmm.
So
I see why. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you can tell that humility is really top on our list, too. We're pretty good at humility and humbleness.
Yes, yes.
But it's amazing what God can do when he's in the mix, you know?
When he's the center, man, it's like, watch out, because strongholds will come down and entire kingdoms of the enemy will just fall. I mean, it is, ooh, I love that song, Victor's Crown, you know? When I do worship different places, I love to pair it with Shout to the Lord. So, but it's a powerful song.
Agreed.
Well, if this episode has been a blessing to you, we ask that you pass it along and share it with a friend. And we also have a fundraising campaign. The links are in the About section. So if you want to come alongside us and support the ministry, that would be great. And also, if you would do us a solid and rate the podcast in Spotify and Apple Podcast, I don't know where else you can do it, but if you could rate it, that would encourage the algorithm to push it out to more people, and then more people can be encouraged. And we would greatly appreciate prayers too. And with that, we'll talk to you next time.